community that's located further north along Ridge Road, then that area does need to redevelop in a way that has more character. It looks very suburban.
Absolutely.
Right now, in the shopping centers there, the scale's much lower, but what's the difference between the commercial layout in the much of Damascus shopping area and what you would see on 355? There's just not as much of it.
Right.
So I share your concern about having the owners of those centers participate, or certainly have a planning policy that's directed to encouraging them to come up with something that's a little more
right, we really need
livable.
A revitalized
town center. You do need
to
revitalize
area, right.
Yes.
We have another speaker. J.R. Swart, come on up. Thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Hi, thanks for taking time to listen to me. My name is J.R. Smart. I live up in Damascus. My post office is Laytonsville. My zip code is Gaithersburg, but that's a whole other story.
But you're a smart guy.
Yeah, I can figure it out. The one thing that, or two issues really, that I want to work on, it's a difficult job for staff to have to deal with all these conflicting opinions, and then they're hamstrung by the request or the provision in the master plan that they cannot deal with any bypass issues. And that was one of the biggest concerns of the community. I've taken it upon myself to poll members of the community and talk to business community, and we'll present some ideas during at the public hearing, which I won't really have time to because I also have a property that, I need to speak about at the public hearing meeting. What I want to do is try to solve or give you a piece of the puzzle that could solve the roads issue. Partially solve the roads issue. And hopefully y'all will be open to some creative type solutions, which is the only kind I know about. So I guess the only other thing is with regards to schools, I just, again, it's a problematic issue that I'm trying to solve through the PTA, where if schools could sell their property, that money go directly to facilities for schools, it would be a big help. Damascus has a few properties that qualify for that sort of thing. Right now, of course, money goes to the general fund, and hopefully the county PTA will take that recommendation or idea and get it up to the county council. But it was a wonderful experience for the last couple of year and a half, and I learned a lot about the community and the people in it, and there's a lot of older families there, been there for a long time. Appreciate y'all taking the time to hear me.
Look forward to seeing your remarks about the transportation system.
Thank you.
All right.
I just have one question, which Judy can tell me later, but just on what page do you set out the guidelines for the housing development in the RDT zone? And then the other thing is there a list of emerging agricultural uses? You can tell me later, but okay.
Okay, I'd like a motion to approve the Damascus Master Plan draft for public hearing purposes only and to schedule the public hearing on November 4th.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
That is unanimous.
All right, now that we've done that, may I get a clarification in terms of, he was talking about the bypass issue. Is that going to be?
The 1993, the council adopted an amendment to the Damascus Master Plan that went through specifically to evaluate the potential for a bypass. It evaluated three or four different variations, and ultimately, the council recommended that no bypass should be recommended until the Woodfield Road was completed up to Ridge Road, because transportation folks could not realistically know the traffic split that would come out of that until that road's completed. We explained this to the community in the beginning, and what we worked out in the plan essentially is a commitment to evaluate a bypass after the Woodfield Road extended is completed and operating for a designated amount of time. At that time, the statistical numbers will be there to allow the knowledge of whether a bypass is warranted. Given the severe environmental and cost constraints of building a bypass up there.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. We'll move on to a review of the OLO report on trees.
Jack Seeley, I'm the Pope Farm Facility Manager. I have made a presentation to the Planning Board once before. I'd like to reintroduce myself as representative of the farm. I would like to introduce those people that are also with me today. To my left is Kathy Conlon, which I'm sure you all know. Down in the round table is Sue Richards from OLO. And a special introduction of Mr. John Boyd, who's with Sue today. John is a new addition to the Pope Farm. We are extremely enthusiastic about the fact that he has joined us. He is part of the Hope Farm team. He has helped me and helped Sue and Kathy immensely with the OLO study. He has 25 years of experience in horticulture. He has a degree in horticulture. He lives in Frederick, Maryland. He has two kids and two cats. John, would you like to introduce yourself, please?
He can't improve on that.
Okay.
My experience has been in the industry, as Jack said, for the last 20 or 25 years. Depends on how far back I'm allowed to count pre-tax. I've been in the greater D.C., Maryland, Northern Virginia area doing this sort of thing for the last 15 or 20. And the last 10 directly with growing. So this is just a segue from private industry and million hours a week and weekends. It's been a nice change.
Welcome aboard. We promise not more than a half a million hours a week, okay?
In season.
The second thing I'd like to mention to you before I start the presentation of the review is that we're having an open house on October 8th at Pope Farm. And all of you have received an invitation. We'd like, again, to invite you to the open house. We have a guest speaker from Banking Nursery and a field tour. So please help us celebrate that day.
Great. Go ahead.
I have prepared, in conjunction with Kathy, a review of the draft of the OLO report. I would like to expound upon the fact that Pope Farm Nursery currently has a professional staff dedicated to production of trees, shrubs, and perennials and annuals. I would like to remind you that we are currently celebrating our 30th anniversary, that we have a history of professionalism, that we are dedicated to plants and to Montgomery County. We are successful and we are ambitious, so that when I was approached by OLL to look at the feasibility and the associated personnel, machinery, and budgets with providing trees for county street trees, I was enthusiastic about the relationship of moving forward with this based on the fact we've been so successful in the past. The horticultural services section, with 2 years of aftercare, has achieved a 95% survivability of plants, of trees planted in Montgomery County. I think that's noteworthy. I think we do a good job. I want to move forward. I'm enthusiastic about this relationship, about growing these trees. We presented to OLO what we thought were three options that were agreeable to the different government agencies that she represented or were investigating. One of them involved a cash and carry program where the tree was just dug and picked up the nursery. Option B was 1 year of aftercare, and option C was 2 years of aftercare. So we presented to them what we thought was a reasonable package with tree specifications that they're currently looking for. What we can't do, and we're looking for today, what we're asking for, is that we don't currently have an operating budget to substantiate the increase in production of 1,700 trees for the county. We don't have the personnel. We do not have the machinery. So I carefully tried to indicate in the staff report that we're looking for an increase in personnel and seasonal and career people substantiate this increase in production. We're looking for more machinery to do this. We're looking for secure funds, don't fluctuate with government budgets, so that the money will be available in a special reserve account available to us, so that we can look at some of our expenses and in relationship to our costs. And we want to maintain our mission statement of providing plants for the parks, so that if we were to entertain in earnest going to 1,700 trees for the county, that would not interfere with our regular operations. We support wholeheartedly the findings of the OLO committee, and we ask the board's permission to move forward with further investigation.
Okay. Kathy, were you going to add anything, or Sue?
I think Sue can maybe expound a little bit more on the report. I mean, I was really going to just...
That's fine. I'm happy to go straight to Sue.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to update you on one thing. In our recommendations, we had asked that the report be amended so that Park Planning actually participated in the urban forest study, and that actually was changed in the draft that was released Tuesday officially. So that recommendation has already taken place.
Okay. Sue?
Thank you for your time. Good to see you. I'd like to start off by saying that it was a pleasure to work with your staff when I first called Charlie about this meeting. The conversation went something along the lines of, I'm trying to figure out who to invite, and I have a much better understanding of why that was such an issue, because it's park and planning, you all do a lot with trees. Basically, the scope of our study that the council gave us in its work program was to look at the tree care activities across the five agencies. And we certainly spent most of the time looking at street trees that the street tree program that the county government runs, and then the forest tree activities. And a specific request was from the interagency forest conservation team that we look at the feasibility of Pope Farm supplying trees for the county government's street tree program. We ended up after, just for those of you who aren't familiar with the Office of Legislative Oversight, we're kind of a small general accounting office, and we work off a work program that the County Council approves every year. This particular project, I think the focus was to, as I said, look at the tree care activity of the five agencies and respond to a series of questions. And the council released the report on Tuesday, and the process is that it gets referred to a committee. This will go to the Transportation and Environment Committee next Thursday, and then the committee makes a report back to the council. So then getting back to the Interagency Forest Conservation Team, which is an established group of staff from the five agencies that already coordinates different tree programs, they had asked us to look specifically at the feasibility of having the Pope Farm grow trees for the county government's street tree program. And we ended up with four recommendations, one of which is that both the county government, working with the director of park and planning, pursue the possibility of a pilot program for the Pope Farm growing street trees for the urban district. So I think if you look in the report, there's a cost analysis. As Jack said, we looked at different options, three options for the urban district and three options for the county government's program. The difference in those two programs really has to do with the volume of the trees that you would have to have to grow. And from our perspective, the advantage of starting out with the urban district is they need many fewer trees. They're talking about 100 trees compared to starting with 1,700. So I think it'd be worthwhile to have a pilot program so that you could kind of see how things would go. And the other thing is, from a cost perspective, the urban district, because they have people who are staff who are already doing tree maintenance, unlike the places outside of the urban district, they could do a cash and carry option. Whereas outside of the urban district, right now, DEP pays about $120.
What do you mean by cash and carry?
That basically Pope Farms' responsibility would be to grow the tree, and then whoever would come and pick it up, that Pope Farm would load it on the truck and pay them with cash and carry it away, as opposed to having the Pope Farm staff take it out and plant it. So the costs they go up basically exponentially when you get into both having your staff plant it and also for the maintenance. Those get to be pretty significant costs. So I think was the one recommendation that has a direct effect with park and planning. And then I think the other recommendation that's probably of interest, and I don't know if Kathy wants to talk about this a little bit, it's the recommendation that we asked DEP and basically county government and director of park and planning, with DEP taking the lead, to prepare a study proposal so that the council would be able to look at some kind of management plan that would help come up with some management recommendations to kind of maximize the environmental benefits of trees. I mean, what the research shows over and over again is that trees are a very good investment, and they have a lot of environmental benefits that also can create cost savings. And there's research studies out there where people have gone in and actually gotten down to kind of the species of trees that are growing, and so that you manage with a sensitivity to the cost of the different species versus the environmental benefits.
Well, I know. I think we've all read the report, which, as usual, is a very good one. It doesn't seem to indicate any deficiencies in park and planning's current operations for producing trees for itself, which is good. Good to see. The real issue does seem to be, should we start providing our trees or start growing trees for other agencies of county government? And I guess that, you know, my response to that is, we'd be delighted, provided that we're going to be given a fair price, and provided that we have the kind of long-term agreement that ensures that if we spend the money to plant the trees and hire the extra personnel to plant the trees, we're not suddenly going to discover, oh, never mind, the urban districts changed their mind, they're going to go somewhere else, and then we're left holding the bag. But provided those conditions are satisfied, as far as I'm concerned, I think this is something we ought to do. And the council's input is important, but in fact, even if the executive branch had come to us with this kind of request, irrespective of your report, I think we'd certainly be open to it. We've done that. We've had those kinds of partnerships on other things before.
Exactly. And I think our hope was that maybe you and the executive could put together a joint budget proposal for the upcoming budget so that the council would have something to consider. But, of course, we go to work session first, as you know, and we get to hear from the council whether kind of what they would want to be looking for in terms of that.
Well, I mean, subject to the comments of my colleagues, I think our response is probably, okay, the ball is now back in the executive's court, and we'd be, come talk to us about what you'd like, what kind of deal you'd like to strike. But let me see if there's any other.
No, I agree with that.
And I agree with it also, and I would compliment you, like the chairman did on the report. It was both very well written, and it's also very interesting.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes.
We need a motion.
I apologize. There is one question I had, and I'm sure that they've answered it already. And it had to do with one of your recommendations about about Pope Farm taking over the trees for. Okay. Increase in production will necessitate the need for additional personnel and machinery. Mm-hmm. You remember that part of the recommendation?
Yes.
And I said, well, what's the fiscal impact in terms of what kind of analysis that you may have done to make that point? And related to that is, well, what would be the fiscal implication from the standpoint of the other agencies who might use it? Meaning, in terms of the recommendation made sense, but I didn't understand why we would have to absorb the fiscal impact in terms of the way this recommendation is written. Because I thought that there would be a payback or chargeback, I should say,
yeah,
if in fact other agencies did get the benefit.
And that's exactly what we were talking about.
Okay.
As you came back in, and the point we made is that we need to get fair price, and also if we plant the trees, we want assurance that they won't change their mind. And they'll buy them.
That was my question. So, fine. Thank you.
So do we need to transmit
I'd like a motion to approve transmittal of comments as recommended by staff to the county council and executive.
So moved. And are you going to do a cover letter with the statement that you just made? Are you going to do a cover letter stating what you just said as the chair?
Okay. I'd be delighted.
Okay. Yeah, so moved.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
That's unanimous. Thank you very much. Sue, thank you for coming. Thank you for waiting.
I don't know how long you've been here, but it's probably been a while.
It's been a long day. And the next item is the amendment to the solid waste plan. And here again, we'll be transmitting comments to the council and executive.
I think it's only appropriate that Mr. Pefferly handles solid waste.
How did I get done today?
He's just tired.
Is there anything in particular you like, tell us in light of your excellent analysis?
If anyone wants a long day, I'm going to keep it brief. For the record, I'm Mark Perth with Environmental Planning. Under the Code of Maryland, each county must prepare a solid waste management plan. The plan must be done for 10 years and updated every 3 years. Also, under the Code of Maryland, the plan must be recommended to the planning board must be sent to the planning board for recommendations prior to a public hearing. The public hearing on the comprehensive plan is scheduled for October 5th of 2004. Like I said, I'll be brief. The plan essentially lays out the format on how the county picks up waste, treats waste, and disposes waste. It relies on a system of source reduction, recycling, resource recovery, which is the RR in Dickerson, and also landfilling. There are no landfill facilities in Montgomery County. Any landfilling that goes on in the state of Virginia. The plan indicates how much material is sent to the various facilities for recycling, for landfilling, and also for disposal through the resource recovery facility. Based on the plan that we reviewed, it appears that the county is exporting a lot more solid waste than was ever estimated.
Mm-hmm.
The resource recovery facility was built in 1995 with a capacity of 1,800 tons per year or per day. The capacity is being exceeded at this time. The waste is being bypassed. Is most recently in fiscal year, probably August of this month, was 26,000 tons. That's almost 300,000 tons in a year. So the county is not properly, in my opinion, the county is not properly planning for 10 years out. The plan really is an operational facility saying that here's what we want to do and here's what we hope to do. We hope to achieve 50% recycling. We'll throw that number out there, and lo and behold, if we don't meet that number, we'll just send all the extra material to Virginia for landfilling. Part of the problem is that the plan needs to be updated every 3 years. This plan that we're looking at today is being updated in the sixth year, so they missed a three-year interim period when a plan should have been updated. It would help the whole planning process. The only recommendation that I have is for the planning board to recommend that the plan be updated as required by county law. In the transmittal that we would send to the county and the county executive, We will also attach a technical document for clarification and also editorial changes. There are numerous throughout the document. I do not want to get into those because it's beyond the capability or beyond the time that we have allocated here. And then I just want to conclude that, you know, we need to face the fact that Montgomery County is an exporting county of solid waste, and we need a proper plan for that. So if we are going to export, we need to make sure that we have long-term contracts with landfills or with other disposal facilities so we can treat our own waste. The current system, the landfill will expire, our contract to landfill in Brunswick County, Virginia, will expire in 2012 based on a very modest amount of landfill material being sent there each year. If we're putting more and more landfill material or sending more and more landfill material there each year, our dedicated cell will be filled quicker than expected.
Okay.
And for Mr. Bryant, just throw this out. last year, you'd be happy to hear that Park and Planning recycled 58% of the waste that was generated.
That's a significant increase.
That's great.
That is higher than what the county recommends, the guidelines of 50%.
Yeah, just by way of background, and you may all be familiar with the background, but when the county council approved the size of the incinerator at 1,800 tons about 10 years ago, they were intentionally conservative because they said, you know, if you build it big, then there'll be no motivation to recycle. And so it was built at 1,800 tons, and that was hoped that that would be an incentive to get that recycling rate up to 50%. Obviously, we did not succeed, at least not yet. And I think 37%, which is the current recycling number, is a number that hasn't changed much for a couple of years.
That's correct.
And, you know, though it's not strictly speaking a park and planning issue, you know, it seems to me that the message that needs to be sent is that the county needs to redouble its efforts to meet the original objective of recycling more and sending it out of the county to Virginia is not what the council intended when it, and I don't know what the planning board's advice was back then, but it was not what the council intended when it sized the incinerator the way it did. And it is a land use issue because ultimately, if we end up relying on exportation of trash, and if ultimately the jurisdictions that receive that trash decide, as I believe inevitably they will, we don't want to import trash anymore, the county will have to go to its site 2, its backup landfill in Dickerson, which would be a black eye for the agricultural reserve, to say the least. So it's a land use issue, ultimately, one way or the other.
Let me support, in fact, what you're saying from another perspective. Coincidentally, I happen to be aware of a problem that they're having in terms of transporting the waste products to Brunswick, Virginia. Because I know that in terms of the current contractor that they're working with, I was trying to facilitate something associated with that anyway, and I found out that you're talking about they're exporting 30 trucks daily. And also, from the standpoint of the location in Virginia, because it's right on the border of North Carolina, it turns out that the one industry of this location is the waste that is being transported down there from that standpoint. So I think that on one hand, it might sound as though I'm contradicting that idea by saying I support what the chair is saying, because I do. But at the same time, I also understand that in terms right now, that's the major industry for that little town, and they want the trash and this ash also. Mm-hmm. But we need to be mindful of the direction that's going, because at some point there will be an attempt to stop it from occurring. I did have a question.
They get rich enough from all the trash.
Yeah, that's right. We won't need them anymore.
And they won't need us anymore, and they'll sue us to stay away.
There was something interesting from your comments that I said that perhaps if not a part of the recommendation, it needs to at least be noted for us, for our benefit. You indicated that there'll probably be an increase in illegal dumping.
Oh, and that's a significant too.
Right, and that's very, very significant because that means illegal dumping on our property, which has a cost implication, as well as a police implication and the cost for the police. So I asked, what's the implication for the park police, and what are the budget implications for those staff people who have to go and clean up after people are dumped? And I'm under the impression that that ought to be highlighted for us in terms of this recommendation also.
The park staff has hired a consultant, and they're in the process of calculating how much trash or refuse they picked up is illegally dumped. We're just at the beginning stage of, like, quantifying the amount of material and the time and effort and how much additional cost going across the transfer station is going to cost us. So we're at the beginning stage of collecting that information. We realize it's very valuable information, especially if the county wants to take our approach of regulating the amount of waste that goes to transfer scales through a tippage fee. Like you said, the higher the fee goes up, the more illegal dumping that will occur in our parks that we'll be ultimately responsible for.
Okay.
Well, I would suggest that our transmittal letter focus first on the county's interests and the fact that if Site 2 ever has to be developed as a landfill, that is a significant detriment to the agricultural reserve, and that the planning board urges redoubling the county's commitment to recycling as a way to avoid that. And then as a second point, I would say, and raising the tipping fee in an attempt to address the problem, number one, does nothing to encourage more recycling, and number two, creates a particular problem for park and planning because it will result in dumping. Mm-hmm. And maybe those are the points to make in that order. The board's agreeable to that. Okay, then we can have a motion to do that.
I would so move, Mr. Chairman, and just as an aside, I would note that the time that the incinerator was sized, there was a lot of criticism that it was too large.
Yes, I remember that.
So I thought I should acknowledge it, having been a member of the organization that was getting the criticism. So.
Second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
That's unanimous, so those comments will be transmitted. Now, it is 6:10, and we are scheduled to reconvene at 7:30. Several of you have expressed an interest in being able to watch the presidential debate, which starts at 9.
So, did we really express that interest?
So several of you did, not all of you. So if you really want that, then you better be back here at 7:30 on the button.
I guess we're going
if you don't
the
care,
street.
Then you can be late.
We're going across the street, huh?
That's up to you all.
Yeah.
Actually, we were actually just close.
So we want to go to Rancho?